It's an awesome privilege to be able to minister the Word of God to you every Monday afternoon here at John 3:16. And over the last several weeks, we've been doing a series called The Clothing of God. The Clothing of God comes from Paul the Apostle's writing in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and forward. Last week, we kind of took a detour and spoke about walking in God's freedom in observance of the July 4th weekend that we celebrated, Independence Day, basically America's birthday. Remember, the original colonies were under the oppression of the Kingdom of Great Britain. And in 1776, July 4th, the colonies adopted the Declaration of Independence from Great Britain. I made a spiritual comparison that in the same way, we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdom of eternal death, into God's kingdom of eternal life. And God's will for us is to walk in His freedom in every area of our lives. Freedom from financial poverty, freedom from sickness, freedom from emotional turmoil, into His peace. God has got freedom for us in every part of our lives. Amen? Well, this afternoon, we're going to continue the series called The Clothing of God. The Clothing of God. And Paul the Apostle writes in Colossians chapter 3, he says, as followers of Christ, there are certain things that you must avoid. As followers of Christ, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and greed. He goes on to say in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. And he lists these different spiritual virtues. Think about it this way. On a really hot summer's day, it's important that you clothe yourself correctly, right? Amen. So that you stay healthy. It's important to put on sunblock lotion, right? So that you don't get sick. It's important that you wear lightweight clothing so that you stay healthy, right? Physically. On a cold winter's day, it's also important that you clothe yourself correctly. On a freezing day, it's good that you put on a heavy jacket, right? To keep away the flu, a cold, and sickness. Well, it's the same way in our spiritual walk with God. We need to clothe ourselves spiritually with certain virtues. And Paul the Apostle lists these in Colossians 3, verses 12 and on. The spiritual virtue that we'll be talking about today is bearing with one another. It's the sixth piece of spiritual clothing that he lists. Bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. The New International Version uses the word bear with one another. Verse 13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, the King James Version translates the word bear as forbear, forbearing. From the original Greek language in which the New Testament is written, the word forbearing means this. It means to hold oneself upright, hence to bear up, hold out, endure, then to bear with. Let's concentrate on the first part of this definition of the word forbear. It means to hold oneself upright. Paul the Apostle is writing in verse 13 of Colossians 3, hold yourself upright in relationship to others. I really believe that the thought Paul the Apostle is trying to communicate is this, friend, is that there are people out there in your daily walk of life, as you go about your daily activities, there will be people out there who will try to intimidate you. That person could be a Christian or a non-Christian. You may be trying to reach out to someone with the love of God in something that you say or do. And the person you're trying to reach out to attacks you. They try to intimidate you with fear. Maybe they try to intimidate you with anger. Maybe they try to intimidate you with their physical size. Maybe they're big. Maybe they try to intimidate you with cussing or violence. Why are they trying to intimidate you? They're trying to get you to bend and to run like with a dog with his tail between his legs, right? That's what they're trying to do. Paul's word of encouragement, I believe, is this. He's saying, hold yourself upright in the face of your intimidator. Stand firm in the face of the person who is trying to attack you. So the question is this. How do you respond to the person trying to intimidate you? With anger? No. With harsh words? No. With trying to get even? No. How do you respond to your intimidator? How do you bear with your intimidator, the person trying to attack you? How do you respond? You respond with the love of God. Exactly. If that person curses you, how do you respond? You respond with blessing. If the person is swinging at you physically, how do you respond? Respond with a pat on the back. Now, I think this story here really illustrates the point well. How many here have heard of the preacher David Wilkerson? David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson was a preacher who went to New York City in the 1950s, ministering to gangsters. Ministering to gangsters. That's it. He wrote the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. He planted a church in New York City in Times Square. And there was a certain gangster that David Wilkerson was trying to reach out to with the love of God. That gangster's name was Nicky Cruz. And as David Wilkerson was trying to reach out to Nicky Cruz, Nicky Cruz was trying to intimidate him. He was threatening David Wilkerson. Did a little research on Nicky Cruz's book called Run, Baby, Run. Nicky Cruz is now a Christian. He is a godly man. But in Nicky Cruz's book, he has this quote. It says, Wilkerson looked at me straight into the eye and said, you could kill me, Nicky. You can cut me in 1,000 pieces and lay them out on the street. But every piece would cry out, Jesus loves you. In another quote, the preacher said, you can kill me and cut me into pieces, but remember that every piece will cry out, Jesus loves you and I love you. Nicky Cruz was threatening David Wilkerson. He was trying to intimidate David Wilkerson. How did David Wilkerson bear up with the intimidation? With love, with the love of God. He responded with God's love. You can cut me up, Nicky. And every piece would say, Jesus loves you. How will you respond to your intimidator? The person who is threatening you. The person who is trying to frighten you. And I also believe that Paul the Apostle, talking about bearing with one another, is also talking about putting up with the strange habits that certain people have. You know, certain people out there just have strange habits and strange ways, right? And myself personally, for instance, I'm a light sleeper. And if you put me in the room with a bunch of guys that snore, it's difficult for me to put up with that. It's hard for me to put up with it because I'm a light sleeper. And back in 2006, I went with a bunch of guys from the church to Mississippi to do Hurricane Katrina relief. And they ended up putting me in a room with a bunch of guys that snored. So in the early morning hours, it sounded like a car engine was running with its muffler off. And guys, let me tell you, man, I could not sleep. It was difficult for me to put up with it. Now, I could have done a few things. I could have put earmuffs on to sleep peacefully. But instead, I asked the leadership if I could pull my cot out into the hall and sleep in the hall. And so for the ensuing nights, I pulled my cot out into the hall. I slept in the hall, and I slept more peacefully. The noise was not as loud, right? So I just had to learn to put up with it. And friends, there's going to be things that people do that you're going to have to learn to put up with. Why? Because God is wanting you to walk in peace with them. You may be living close to someone who does or says strange things. You may be living in the same room with them here at John 3:16. Are you going to complain? Are you going to fight with them? Or will you put up with it with God's love? Will you respond as God would respond and keep the peace? Making sense? All right. Then he says this in Colossians 3:13. He says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. What's a grievance? A complaint, good. A grievance is a wrong considered as grounds for a complaint. And eventually it leads to a quarrel and bickering. A grievance, I think, is a little less serious than someone who is intimidating you. It's a little less serious. He's saying, bear with the person who is attacking you, intimidating you, with the person who has strange ways. And then he also says, in the second part of the verse, verse 13, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. And a grievance is a complaint. Let me give you a couple of examples here. Say someone jokes about your weight or your nationality. You're trying to lose some weight, and this person jokes about your weight and kind of jokes about your nationality, and you take it as a personal offense. You feel personally wronged and complain to that person, demanding an apology. So you go to the person, you said such and such about my weight or my nationality. And the person says, man, I was just joking around with you, man. I was just trying to be funny. So you have one perspective, and the person joking around with you has another perspective. And you start to quarrel and bicker. The least that person owes me is an apology, and you demand an apology. Paul the Apostle is saying, what does forgiveness say to do in such a situation? If this person has grieved you, right, concerning your weight or your nationality, forgiveness would say just release that person of the debt of the apology that you think they owe you. Just walk in peace with your offender. Another example here of a grievance. Let's say that somebody is desperately needing money, a friend of yours, an acquaintance of yours. And so you lend that person your lunch money, say 15 or 20 bucks. You lend it to them, expecting it back maybe in 2 days or 3 days or a week. So the week goes by and you never get your money back. So you confront the person, hey, Joe, I lent you my lunch money. That was my lunch money. Are you going to give it back to me? And Joe says, well, I thought you gave it to me. And you're like, no, man, I lent it to you. So there's a difference of opinion here. You thought you lent it. Joe thought you gave it. And the difference of opinion leads to quarreling and bickering. What would forgiveness say to do in such a situation? Forgiveness says, release Joe of the debt that he owes you. Let him have your lunch money and walk in peace with Joe. Does that make sense? Examples of grievances. And then he says this in the third part of Colossians 3:13. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord Jesus Christ forgave you. Now, friends, forgiveness is an eternal life or death situation. How many know about parachuting? Parachuting, skydiving. You get up in that airplane, 30,000 feet up in the air, right? And you jump out of that airplane. The parachuter jumps out. And when he pulls his string, if the parachute opens up, he's safe, right? That man's going to live, right? But if he jumps out of that plane and is falling and pulls the string, but the parachute doesn't open, he's in trouble, right? He may not live. Parachuting is risky. It's a life or death situation. Does that make sense? Likewise, in a spiritual sense or level, forgiveness is a life or death situation. Why? What is our eternal salvation based upon? It's based upon God's forgiveness of our sins through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Look at Matthew 6, verse 14, if you have a Bible. Matthew 6, 14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. What is the Word of God saying here?
You must forgive to be forgiven.
If we walk in forgiveness toward our offenders, God will walk in forgiveness toward us. On the other hand, if we decide not to walk in forgiveness toward our offenders, guess what? God will not walk in forgiveness toward us. And if God is not walking in forgiveness toward us, guess what? We are standing on dangerous ground eternally. Because our eternal salvation is based upon God's forgiveness of our sins. Is that making sense? Right? If we want God to open the parachute of His forgiveness over us, then we need to open the parachute of forgiveness over our offenders. It is an eternal life or death situation. Look at what Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 1, if you have a Bible. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. He says, be imitators of God. But you got to read this verse in its context. In the preceding verse, Ephesians 4:32, this is what Paul writes. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And then he says, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God how? Be imitators of God in the area of forgiveness. This is the context here in Ephesians 5. What is God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? God is a forgiver 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if we're to be imitators of God in this area, that means that we are to be forgivers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Does that make sense? We're to imitate God in the area of forgiveness. When you wake up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror, settle it in your heart. I am in advance going to walk in forgiveness toward the person who insults me or offends me. I walk in a spirit of forgiveness 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because I am an imitator of God, as the Word of God says in Ephesians 5, verse 1. What is Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? He's a forgiver. 1 John 2:6 says this. John writes, if you claim to walk, live in Christ, walk as Christ walked. The walk of Christ was a walk of what? It was a walk of forgiveness toward His offenders. Remember, right before the crucifixion of Jesus and during His crucifixion, people were mocking Him, right? They were blaspheming Him. They were speaking down to Him, Jesus Christ, God the Son. And in the midst of His offenders and the offense, how did Jesus respond? Luke 23:34. Jesus says this, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. You know, did Jesus respond with anger while He was being crucified? No. Did He try to tear Himself off the cross? No. Did He call down 12 legions of angels to strike His offenders down? No. How did Jesus respond in the midst of the mockery? He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He forgave them. And if we claim to live in Christ, as John writes in 1 John 2:6, we must walk as Christ walked. And the walk of Christ was a walk of forgiveness toward His offenders. Friends, offenses will come across your path. If you're interacting with people on a daily basis, somebody is going to say or do something that does not quite sit right with you. Are you going to attack? Are you going to fight them? Are you going to cuss at them? Or will you respond like Jesus responded? The response of Jesus was a response of forgiveness. You've got to remember this. Forgiveness is a choice. It isn't a feeling. You can't base your forgiveness on the offender's response. You remember the illustration I gave just earlier? Maybe somebody jokes about your weight or your nationality and you get offended. And they just meant to be funny. They were just joking around with you. They thought they could make you laugh. But you took it personally, offensively. Right? You tell the person, you know what you said about my nationality, what you said about my weight, what you said about my family offended me. And how do they respond? Well, I was just joking around with you. I wasn't trying to offend you. You can't base your forgiveness on how that person responds. They may not see themselves as having offended you. Forgive them anyway. Just let it go. Release them of the debt. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. Feelings are fickle. You know, if you go by your feelings concerning this issue of forgiveness, that means that at certain times you'll decide to forgive. You'll feel like forgiving. But at other times, you may not feel like forgiving. You can't go by feeling, friend. You've got to make a determined choice on the inside. Whatever offenses come across my path today, I decide in advance to forgive and release my offender in Jesus' name. Amen? It will keep you healthy spiritually. You know, when you walk in bitterness and unforgiveness, it opens you up to the enemy's spiritual attacks. How many of us want to be attacked by the enemy spiritually? With fear and torment. None of us want to be attacked with fear and torment, right? So we've got to start forgiving our offenders. Put up those walls against the enemy's attacks. And the way you put up those walls is by walking in the love of Almighty God, by forgiving. Amen? Amen? All right, so how do you go about forgiving? You know, it's difficult to forgive sometimes. How do you go about uprooting feelings of bitterness that may take root in your heart? How do you uproot feelings of unforgiveness? What's that?
Pray.
That's it, man. Number one, pray. Some of you may have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit evidenced with speaking in tongues. When you speak in tongues in this heavenly language, it builds you up on the inside. It gives you inner strength to be able to forgive. Some of you may not speak in tongues, but you can speak in English. If somebody has offended you and it's difficult to forgive them, if you've got feelings of bitterness on the inside, what should you start doing? Start praying to God in English and say, God, you know what? I can't do this on my own. God, can you give me your strength to forgive this person? And guess what? God will give you the grace and the strength to forgive your offender. So how do you uproot feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness? Start praying to God for His grace, His strength, His enablement. Another way to uproot feelings of unforgiveness and bitterness, start reading the Word of God. If somebody has offended you, maybe a day ago, maybe a week ago, maybe a month ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, maybe it was a family member that violated you, that offended you, that insulted you in a great way. Start doing a word study, a Bible word study on the word forgiveness. Look up every single passage. By a concordance, go to the back of the Bible in its own concordance. Look up the word forgiveness. Look up the word forgive and do a word study on what forgiveness is all about. And let the Word of God start conditioning your mind on the issue of forgiveness. Remember, we start to think like the books that we read, right? Our minds will think like the books that we read. Why not read the greatest book in the world? Why not do a word study on forgiveness from the greatest book in the world called the Bible? And as you do that word study, as you study what forgiveness is about, as you study how God has forgiven us through Jesus Christ, guess what? It will start to condition your thoughts and you'll be walking in forgiveness far more easily because you're allowing the Word of God to persuade and condition your thoughts on the issue of forgiveness. Finally, stop talking about your offender and his offense. Stop talking about your offender and his offense. If you keep talking about your offender and the bad thing he did to you, guess what? You're feeding your feelings of bitterness and you're starving your love walk. If you talk about your offender and the nasty thing he did to you, you are feeding your feelings of bitterness and unforgiveness, and you're starving your love walk towards others. But if you stop talking about your offender If you stop talking about the nasty and the bad thing that that person did to you, that that relative did to you, guess what? Then you're starving your feelings of bitterness and unforgiveness. And you're feeding your love walk. Let me say that again. If you stop talking about your offender and his offense, you are then starving bitterness and unforgiveness. And you are feeding your love walk toward others. Friends, let me tell you, I'm preaching to myself because there's people in the past who have offended me. I've been offended. I've been insulted in many different ways by things people have said and done. And I've seen myself in the past go back to what that person did and said, feeding my feelings of bitterness. But you know what? You've got to stop talking about it. Jonathan, just stop talking about it. And as you stop talking about your offender, you put to death those feelings of bitterness. And you can walk in the love of God. Amen?
Amen.
God loves you guys so very much. And